Good morning again. I think my microphone is working today.
Amen.
For a moment. We're going to be in John chapter 10, starting in verse 22 this morning. John chapter 10, verse 22 through verse 30. We continue our mini-series here, giving thanks for our faith, outlined by our faith statement. What does it take for you to feel secure? What does it take? Everyone is different. Everyone has something they rely on. Maybe you have different definitions of security in your life. Maybe it's a guard dog. We have two. No laughter. Not sure how much guarding they do, unless it's over the food. They probably do guard the food. Security system, pepper spray, handgun, maybe your gun's on you right now, martial arts, all these things, all these steps you take to feel secure in your life. Maybe you've never really thought about it, and now you're freaking out a little bit that I'm talking about it, like, oh, I haven't done anything. Most people, there are a lot of people that just don't think about it, they just feel secure. Today we're going to look at salvation and the only security you truly ever need in your life, eternal security. In three parts this morning. Who is Jesus? What is salvation? What is eternal security? John chapter 10, verse 22. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking around in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this place, and that we can gather here as your people this morning. Help us to lean into your holy word and use it for what it is, a guide to our lives. Help us apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So giving thanks for our faith is the mini-series we're in. We'll step back into Acts in a few weeks, but today we continue this study. What we say we believe, what we say is in the Bible, it's in our Baptist Faith and Message 2000, it's in our faith statement online. So far we've covered what the Bible is to us, we've covered what the Holy Trinity is to us, we've covered who we are. We are made in the image of God and are all equal and are all sinners in need of a Savior to change our destination from hell to heaven. And Jesus was this Savior.
Amen.
This week, we're going to take a look at salvation and eternal security. And next week, we will look at the church and spiritual gifts. Today, let's begin by looking at Jesus. Who is Jesus? First, where are we? It's a feast in Jerusalem and during the winter, but the specific location here is Solomon's porch. And we know this place because we've covered it in Acts together many times. Most of our study in Acts so far has been in and around this place. This is where Jesus is, and other Jews are surrounding him, other because Jesus is Jewish. They surround him and ask him a question. "Don't keep us waiting. Are you the Christ?" What are they asking? The Christ is their Messiah, said to come. It's their Savior sent from God, the one who will reign on the throne of David forever. Just tell us, are you him? Why do they want to know? To kill him. To have a charge that'll stick. Some want him to be the Messiah. Some wait in this anticipation and think he is the one, but most want to get rid of him. Just after Jesus finished speaking today, by the way, our last verse says, I and the Father are one. Just after he finishes this, they try to stone him. So who is he? We know him as the only Son of God, sent to take our place as the sinless sacrifice, covering our sins and offering eternity in heaven for all who believe in him. Why not just tell them this? Well, one reason is that it's not his time, everything in the timing of his Father, right? So from this perspective, they will know when it's time to know, but also, he has already told them. Our text today says, I told you. Pushing aside all the times we looked at this when we studied Mark together, and there were many, let's look at just in John, just a few chapters earlier. We're in a winter festival here, and Jesus visited Jerusalem during a fall festival, Feast of Booths, and taught in the temple, just like he's doing now. Likely taught these same people. They had a way of seeking him out when he was around. What did he say to them then? Well, in John 7, he said, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow living water. That's Old Testament for Messiah. In John 8, still at this fall festival, he says, I'm the light of the world, and belief in me gives you the light of life. Old Testament for salvation. He is salvation. He continues in John 8 by telling them that the Son of Man will be lifted up. We know Son of Man, and I am he. This is Old Testament, Daniel style, for Messiah. Continuing in John 8, as he's teaching these people, he says, he knew Abraham, and since before Abraham was, I am. Forgetting all the implications of this I am statement, he's saying he is God. He just said he knew the Father of their entire people and was before him. He continues in chapter 9 and 10 with Son of Man and Light of the World and Good Shepherd. All the while he's casting out demons, he's healing the sick, he's healing the lame, he's bringing people back to life. Now, this reminds me of connect the dot puzzles. You guys know these puzzles? Kids doing them a lot. I've done them before. They're usually numbered. You start at one, you go around to the highest number and back to one. You're following a pattern. Usually it's some shape. When you connect all the dots, you see what it's supposed to be, whatever image, whatever picture. Maybe you can tell halfway through. Maybe you can tell before you even get started. You know what it's going to be. These Jewish people surrounding Jesus have been handed a connect the dots puzzle. On their puzzle is every prophecy and every Old Testament passage pointing forward to their Messiah. Eventually, as you hear and see one prophecy after another, one miracle after another, one teaching after another, eventually you will see who the person is standing in front of you. Not these people. It's like they cannot be bothered to do the puzzle, cannot be bothered to connect the dots. They just say, tell us. Tell us what it is. Our text today tells us this crowd thinks that that is not enough. Claiming to be the Messiah while fulfilling the Old Testament Messiah prophecies, while performing miracles, is not enough. What do we think? Is it enough? The claims and the miracles and fulfilling the Old Testament, is it enough? Let's push it further. Was the cross enough? The answer is no. This would never be enough on its own. Why? Well, we looked at it last week when we looked at ourselves. We are dead in our sins, And we like it that way. So are these people. It will never be enough until the Spirit moves within you and changes you and brings you to life. Some in these crowds experience this.
Amen.
And some do not. And tensions arise around just who this man is. Who is he to you? Your Savior or not are the options. The Spirit within you or not. This is what we're going to look at next. Salvation. What is salvation? We say it every week, right? I say it, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Last week we said salvation is a gift from God to us in the form of His Son on the cross for us. The Son enduring the wrath of the Father for us. Belief in this is our salvation. What does our text say salvation is today? It says the sheep and the shepherd. He says, everything I do in my Father's name bears witness about me, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. What does he mean? Well, he tells us, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. These have eternal life and will never perish. That's what he says. Where does this come from? The Good Shepherd. Just before our passage today, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. This is due to the fact that he taught in terms people could relate to. The shepherd was known occupation. Sheep were a known animal. The sheep in the field knew the shepherd's voice, and the sheep in the field needed the shepherd's protection. The shepherd always takes care of his flock, and those not in the flock did not follow the shepherd. He did not know them. That's easy enough, but it's never that simple when it comes to Jesus. So where else does this come from? Let's start in Psalm 23, we all know this psalm, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So the Lord is the shepherd. And the shepherd takes care of everything. Amen. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of Man. We know that phrase. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Ezekiel here, condemning the shepherds of Israel. Who are these people? The religious leaders. These are those who were supposed to guide the sheep, God's people. And they have not been doing their job. Until Jesus came, there was no shepherd. Micah 5, verse 4. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. The shepherd here will stand great forever, and his flock will dwell secure. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So this says the Lamb will be their shepherd. The one who is slain for all will be the good shepherd and provide living water, and there will be tears no more. Do we see? It's more than Jesus just saying, follow me, and I will be like a shepherd to you. He's claiming to be the good shepherd, said to come and to take care of his people forever. No shepherd before he came. And afterwards, all who believe will never be without a shepherd ever again. You're feeling lost, the shepherd will guide you. You're feeling down, the shepherd will comfort you. You're feeling afraid and attacked and full of worry, the shepherd will be your rod and your shield. The shepherd was the lamb on the cross for you. And there's no place in your life he will not go for you. He will always find you. This is why we say salvation is believing in the Lord. Because once you believe in who he is, you turn from your sins and you come to him. Once this has happened, he will always be there and you will always be saved. Is this what you believe? Can you tell you have a shepherd? Can you tell you are one of his sheep? If yes, then you will always be his. What is eternal security? What is this? You will always be his. This is a faith statement of ours that divides people. Divides churches, divides denominations. Here's what our faith statement says on eternal security. This is what we have written down. We believe that everyone who is truly redeemed is kept by God's power and is thus secure in Christ forever. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. We believe that if saved, always saved. We believe the Bible teaches that there is nothing man can do to earn his salvation, and there is nothing he can do to lose it either. Praise God for that. If we could lose it, we would. Where do we get this from? Well, let's start with our text this morning. What does it say? I give them eternal life. They will never perish. They cannot be snatched from my hand or my Father's hand. Well, first, eternal life and never perish. We often overlook this statement, these words. Eternal life, never perish. We just read through them. John 3:16, all who believe should not perish, but have eternal life. Do we realize perish means death and hell? And do we realize eternal life means heaven, and it means forever? It does not mean until you turn away again. Forever is forever without interruption. John 6:40 says this, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, everyone, and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Belief secures your eternity. 1 Peter 1:4 says this, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are kept forever if you are his. This leads into the next statement. You cannot be snatched away. That's what Jesus says here. Not by the things you do, not by the things other people do. No sin is too big to rip you from God's hands if you are his. Jude 1:24. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. He will keep you and present you. Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If a work began within you, nothing will stop it from being completed. That's what eternal security is. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Belief makes you new. And you cannot go back to old. Old is dead. Old is no more. How? How does all this happen? 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this. And who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. There it is. Sealed by God and given his Holy Spirit. All who have this Spirit have God's guarantee. Sealed forever. Have you ever tried to open a letter you just sealed? Maybe you closed it. It's a birthday card. You forgot to put the money in it. You're like, oh no. Is it easy to get that back open? You can get it open, right? It's just paper, but it kind of rips, doesn't it? Doesn't look the same. You got to try to re-glue it. You probably just grab a new envelope. We have other things in our life, locks on our doors. Maybe we have safes, money safes, gun safes. Once they're closed, they're sealed. Is it easy to get into them if you don't have the key, if you don't have the code? Not too easy. Think about the seal of God. Think about the Creator of all things sealing you. Think about what it would take to remove that. Impossible. Whatever you did last night did not remove the seal of God. This past week, this past month, this past year. If you have been sealed by God, it cannot be removed. Lean into that. His seal forever. This does not mean you will never sin again. It just means sin will never own you again. Never rule over you again. Never decide your eternity again. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you are His, are you His? Do you believe in the Son? Have you turned from your sins and toward Jesus? If yes, then sealed forever. Is your answer yes? Jesus is who He said He was. Salvation is for all who recognize their need for a Savior and repent of their sins and have faith that Jesus is that Savior. This means God's Spirit in your life. Salvation is for eternity. It can never be taken from you. But it's only secure if it's real. If saved, always saved. Is your salvation real? Are you His sheep and He your shepherd? Look around. His sheep can see the shepherd in their lives, can hear the shepherd in their lives, can feel His presence. Can you? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and He will be your shepherd forever. Your comforter and guide and protector forever. Who is Jesus to you? Bring anything at all to your Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this time together. We thank You for Your Holy Word. We thank You that we do have our faith statements written down. We can lean into them and we can see them in the Bible. And we can live them out in our lives. Father, be with us now as we leave this place. We're entering a holiday week full of festivities, activities, food, fellowship, family time. Help us remember to continue to lean into You as well, to find our moment with You, God, and to continue to remember to press Your holy word out into the world. It is the gospel that saves, the Spirit moving within people. Changes hearts. Father, it starts with us. We have to be Your hands and feet. We have to spread Your holy word. Amen. Help us remember You are the shepherd of our lives, and there are those out there who need a shepherd too. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray.